The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us. SB Nation AM rolling along this morning as we are back from the Labor Day weekend and the football weekend, a three-day fest. Or if you want to go back to Thursday night, man, it's been a full 5 days of football. And it was great. It was good to be back. It's good to have it back on TV. It's good to have it that moment where you're flipping through and like every channel it feels like has a game. Even if it's not a huge game, even if it's a mismatch, it's just a game that's on and you can flip from a variety of games. I love that feeling. We went through a long summer waiting for this moment. And I think for the most part, week one, it didn't disappoint in a lot of ways, but you know, there were some games that I wished were better, that I thought were better contests. I thought the LSU-Miami game would be fun to watch, and that really wasn't. That was kind of over at halftime. Last night, I kind of settled into Virginia Tech-Florida State, one, to see how good Florida State was going to be, and I kept hearing about all these reports about how there was a new swagger about Florida State. There was a new energy in Tallahassee with Willie Taggart coming in. And we've been hearing that over and over again. I knew Virginia Tech was good, but I thought Florida State was going to win this game at home, especially since all the reports were telling me there's this new level of confidence. Boy, they didn't look like it last night. They looked lost. They looked confused. Bud Foster's defense was great, forced turnover after turnover after turnover. Is there a lot of work to do at Florida State? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's one of those games where you have to work some stuff out and Florida State wins most of their games, wins the Coastal, whatever, and takes it anyway. But the reality of it is these are the kind of matchups at the beginning of the season that feel like there's a lot of promise, but then really don't deliver. I'll tell you this, the game that I was interested in watching, not because of anything on the field, was because I just wanted to see how they would handle it, was Maryland and Texas, and how would the Terrapins not, you know, deal with Jordan McNair and the memory of Jordan McNair. They left a spot for him on the offensive line. They were flagged for the penalty. Texas declined the penalty at the beginning of the game. That was a good moment. Maryland's pretty decent. Maryland is pretty decent. And Texas is still, I guess, rebuilding, I guess, again. We'll see how that goes for the Longhorns this season. A lot more to get to in week one. When we come back, I want to get into the NFL, the Khalil Mack trade in Oakland, and John Gruden. And what does this say about what's going on with the Raiders? That is coming up next on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, that's probably the most appropriate song I think we've had for a segment. What is going on in Oakland?
They're back!
Crazy train John Gruden.
They're back. You know how excited I've been all weekend long?
This must have been thrilling for you,
God,
as a Charger.
This reminds me of back in the days when Al Davis would just draft guys because they were fast.
Yes. Exactly.
Can't catch a ball, can't do anything, they're just fast.
How did the NFL let this happen?
Did you see somebody tried to do the exact same trade on Madden?
And couldn't get it approved.
Got it rejected. Even Madden knows that, hey, this is not a good deal.
I got to be honest with you. If I'm in the NFL office, I stop this before. Like, I say to Raiders, pay him his money and let's get going here. You're not going to trade him. This is such a bad look for the organization.
God, David Stern stopped the trade of Chris Paul
exactly.
to the Lakers. Why can't, you know, I don't know. I don't, this was.
Roger
this
Goodell
was awesome.
Should have stepped in and said, no, and double no. You are not going to trade Khalil Mack for draft picks. Stop it.
No, he's too busy coming up with other punishments. Like, you know, how can I punish an innocent person again?
John Gruden. By the way, and I'm not a John Gruden fan. I thought his act was. Yeah, I know, right? when he makes a mess of the team you hate, then I guess it's good. I'm not a John Gruden fan. I thought his act on Monday Night Football was just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it. Everybody's a player. I really like this guy. This guy knows how to play. Stop it. He did it over and over and over again. I know John Gruden did his homework. I'm not accusing him of not doing his homework, but it just seemed like there was such a crutch that he used over and over again in his broadcast that it made me kind of doubt that he knew what he was talking about. And then he would do those quarterback shows, you know, like it was some sort of job interview
quarterback
with
camp.
Him. Yeah. Like what did Marcus Mariota or Matt Leinart or any of these other quarterbacks that came in to the John Gruden camp or whatever it was, what did they have to tell? Why were they interviewing with John Gruden, a television analyst? What were they interviewing with him for? Why did they have to answer his stupid questions? They only had one person to impress, the person that was going to sign their checks, not John Gruden. He was nothing more than a television analyst, and he was made out to be the most important person in all of football, and it was stupid. He took Tony Dungy's team and he won a Super Bowl against a Raiders organization that was dumb enough not to change their plays after he left. And after that Super Bowl win, he didn't win again. He didn't win anything else. Then he went into television and was really, really good at it. And everybody liked him because he told everybody how great every single player was. And he just kept saying, that guy's tough as nails. And that guy is just, you can't beat him. He can't beat him one-on-one. Every player you couldn't beat one-on-one. So the Raiders took a Brinks truck, backed it up to his house and said, fill it with whatever amount of money you want. It's endless. In fact, here's 5 money trees where it just grows. Fill it with whatever money you want. Please come coach us. So what does he do? He goes there. And apparently, Ron, I guess, he took one look at that roster and said, hey, you know what? I said all year long, all these years, that everybody was tough as nails, but nobody's tough here in Oakland. We're just going to give up, take our best player, and ship him off for draft picks. Oh,
now
well done.
Now, there is a chance he can come out looking like a genius.
If
he nails these next 2 years with first rounders. But I mean, isn't it?
But wait
but
a minute.
The Bears are going to be so much better.
Unless, no. Go back to that. What are the odds that he's going to hit home runs with these draft picks? What are the odds that there is a Khalil Mack player in one of the picks the Bears are going to give him, which right now could be in from like 12 down?
Oh, I think it's going to be much higher.
I mean, it could be in the 20s.
You look at that Bears defense now. That's a scary defense.
They got Danny Trevathan. They got him. They got Roquan Smith. I mean, they got a great defense. Those draft picks could be, I mean, granted, I understand. Don't get me wrong. A star can come from everywhere. I get it. I know. Boy, there's a sleeper pick in the 4th round. I get it. Quiet.
Don't you remember Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, right?
Sixth rounder.
God, once Tom Brady became successful, every single 6th round in the draft, they kept saying, guys, don't turn away. Don't leave us. Broadcast continues on the draft. This is where Tom Brady came from. Like that was just, that was not a, that like that not was, was not an amazing anomaly in all of sports. But I mean, look, John Gruden. John Gruden must have looked at the Raiders and said, "This is trash. This team sucks."
And so what? So they'll have a top five pick their own. No, actually, yeah, they'll have a top five pick their own, and then they'll have one in the 20s. Because I really do think the Bears are good enough to finish, like, you know, in the top 10 of the league.
You couldn't top pay 12. This guy. They couldn't pay Khalil Mack. Come on. Really? You couldn't pay Khalil Mack? Do you realize Khalil Mack? I remember the draft that Jadeveon Clowney was the number one pick. Was it 2000? I get my dates mixed up. 15? 2014, 2015, one of those years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember people saying Khalil Mack's the number one pick. Khalil Mack was the number one pick over Jadeveon Clowney.
And he's proved it. I mean, Jadeveon's had a great career, but...
Yep, he certainly has, but Khalil Mack has proved it. He's double-digit sacks every year. He goes to the Pro Bowl. He is a franchise player, and Gruden said goodbye. They just said, can't pay him. They traded him to the Bears. I mean, if you're a Raider fan in Oakland, thank God they're leaving. Good luck, Vegas, with this crap show. Good luck with this.
I just love the fact that it was at midnight, too.
Oh, I know.
Because none of us knew. We wake up that next morning and look like, oh, what is this on my timeline? Yeah. What are they talking about? This must be a fake account. I can't believe the Raiders would trade Khalil Mack to the Bears.
God, what a dumb move. This had me questioning. This is one of those moves, I swear, where my first initial reaction, right, was this is one of the stupidest things I've seen in a long time. Then I had to pause to say, wait a minute, I'm missing something, right? Like I'm missing. I can't have this feeling. I must be missing part of this story that makes sense, like where it makes sense, but somehow I missed the nugget of information. Like, oh, Khalil Mack has a bone on bone on his knee that's ready to pop. He'll be out of the league in a matter of weeks. Nope, couldn't find that. But any sort of back history on Khalil Mack? Nope, couldn't find that. I was like, there's got to be something more to this stupid story. This is the dumbest thing I've seen, but there's got to be more because football geniuses made it, and I'm not a football genius. So football geniuses like John Gruden, who eats and craps more football than I'll ever consume. He was the one that thought this was a fine idea for the Raiders. There must be more, and I couldn't find it. So it's still the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
No, it's not only that too, but I mean, the cherry on top was they shipped a pick as well.
Yes, exactly.
Second
That's
round
right.
pick.
Good point. I forgot about that little cherry on top. Yeah, that little thing.
Yeah. Not only are we going to give you the most dominant defender in the game right now. Hey, here's the second round pick. Do what you want with that one.
I like how Reggie McKenzie said that, you know, more than half the league called. You think more than, why wasn't it 80% of the league calling to find out how they could get a Khalil Mack trade? Are you kidding me?
I would be surprised if it wasn't 31 teams calling.
I would have fired my general manager if he did not make a phone call. If I was an owner of a team and I said, what did you offer for Khalil Mack? I said, nothing. We're all set. I would have said, no, we're not. We would have found something. Are you kidding? We would have made that work somehow. Are you kidding me? Come on. Come on. It's unbelievable. Gruden better. I don't know what they want with John Gruden. I really don't. I have no idea. I don't know what is going to happen now going down the road. I think he's overrated. I'm not a fan of his. Derek Carr is probably like, this is awful.
He was a decent coach. But he was never able to build a winning team.
No, absolutely.
I mean, yes,
right.
He has a Super Bowl ring, but that wasn't his team. That was Tony Dungy's team.
Tony Dungy's team, and again, the Raiders didn't change the playbook because John Lynch always talked about this. John Lynch, when he was with Denver, he would go on radio shows and we'd talk to him about the Super Bowl, and he would say, we knew exactly what the Raiders were running. It was so funny. We were calling their plays for them in that Super Bowl. That's how unprepared the Raiders were going into that season. Because, look, Gruden goes to Tampa Bay, right? And the Raiders bring in Bill Callahan, and they don't change anything. But really, what are the odds that they're going to play Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl and they're going to have to need a revamped offense? They're not in the same conference. They didn't play during the regular season. So if you're the Raiders, okay, fine. You know, well, we can run the same kind of stuff. No big deal. The only thing would be a problem if we should happen to meet John Gruden in a Super Bowl. Guess what? They met John Gruden in the Super Bowl. Ah! Lordy, lordy, lordy. I mean, and again, I thought, I used to think John Gruden had been linked to so many jobs, it was insane. He was going to be the Tennessee head coach, and everybody in Tennessee was like, John Gruden was having walnut pancakes at this diner in Knoxville, said a cousin of a cousin who's a real estate agent who also said John Gruden was looking at a house by the river. Right? It was like that every day with when Tennessee was looking for a head coach and wanted John Gruden. Everybody wanted John Gruden. And I always said, why would John Gruden go back to coaching? He's got one of the best gigs you can have in sports. He was an analyst on Monday Night Football, and he was getting paid millions and millions of dollars to do it. Just study film, talk to the players and coaches, and just reiterate everything you've learned and whatever you think on national television. And you get to travel the league, and you get to be one of the premier voices of the league. Why would you give that up? Well, apparently, $100 million and the ability to make dumb things like this happen is apparently appealing to John Gruden. Golly. The Raiders getting out of Oakland, it couldn't come soon enough. Go to Las Vegas, where people are going to buy all the seats and people are going to buy all the gear, and they're just going to be happy that you're going to exist. So when you make dumb moves like this, people in Vegas will be like, whatever, we're just so happy we have a football team. Yay for us. And when you sell off everybody and you're rebuilding for the 12th year in a row and you have another mediocre season where nothing gets accomplished, people in Vegas will be like, no problem. No problem. Heck, we're just happy you're here. And that honeymoon will last a while. And Gruden will collect all of his money without having to produce a winner, because there won't be any pressure to produce a winner. Are you kidding me? Why? We're just happier here. Well done. Well done, Raiders. Good Lord, this was dumb. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, hit me up on Twitter if I'm just overblowing this. 800-777-2907. Hit me up at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Week one in college football. We are heading into week one in the NFL. The Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday night. Nick Foles is going to get the start at quarterback for the Eagles.
It's a bird fight.
Yes, Carson Wentz is, I guess, not quite healthy yet. He's on the back end of the torn ACL.
Yeah, but so, when you have the Super Bowl MVP, why do you... Yeah. You don't need a rush.
You don't need a rush. Take your time, Carson. We're all good. It's O Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. For a limited time, get double points on over 250 items throughout the store. You'll find double point offers on appearance items, on oil specials, and more. If you're not a member yet, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and sign up. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so Labor Day weekend. When I was younger, Labor Day weekend meant the Jerry Lewis Telethon. So I asked Ron this morning, because I didn't notice that the telethon was on. I was channel surfing all weekend. I didn't notice once that the telethon was on, Jerry Lewis's muscular dystrophy telethon. So I said to Ron, I said, did you notice the telethon? I said, I didn't see it. And then you look it up and you said, that telethon hasn't been on in 5 years.
Yep, I looked it up. Not only that, I mean, you and I are roughly the same age. I remember was just an all weekend thing.
All weekend. And when in my very early days, when I didn't have cable, it was on all three channels, all three major channels.
And not only that, but I mean, you always love towards the tail end, because towards the tail end of it, Jerry Lewis just looked like a wreck.
Oh, a wreck. He was up all night.
Looked like he's just been binge drinking the entire weekend, of course, but he didn't drink.
The tuxedo was ripped.
Coming off of him.
The tie was loose, sweating, being in Vegas. Charo would come out, coochie, coochie, coochie. And he'd be like, get away from me. I'm done. Yeah. I'm out of here.
And he'd sleep.
Ed McMahon would be right. Let's go to the tote board, Jerry. Jerry would be like, all right, huh? So how much we got up there?
From 1966 to 2010, the telethon would last roughly almost 1,300 minutes.
Wow.
That's
what does that translate to?
A lot of time.
I'm going to do the math right now. No, would you say 1,300 minutes?
Well, 1,290. So I guess take that number divided by 60.
60 and 21 hours, 22 hours.
So that's a long day.
It's a long day. It's a long day.
We'll fast forward to the last year was in 2014.
See, that's when you told me that. I said, wait a minute. Where have I been in the last 5 years or so, 4 years or so?
Well, no, I have the reason for you.
Yeah, that I don't know that the telethon was missing.
Okay, so after 2010, when it was 21 hours, it dropped down to 2011. It was only 6 hours long. Then in 2012, it was 3 hours long. And then the last two renditions of it, 13 and 14, it was only 2 hours long.
Okay.
So it's a quick telethon.
Yeah. God.
No one's losing their tuxedo. I think it would have been appropriate for someone to come out and just have that Jerry Lewis look. Yeah. Like, oh my God, we've been on doing this for so long. It's like, yeah, it's only been 2 hours, bro.
God, remember that thing used to be on, and they, I mean, all the celebrities, they did it in Vegas, and all the celebrities would show up, and they'd sing, and then the money would come pouring in, and Jerry would come out, and then he would talk, and then he would, then another celebrity would come, and then they would go to the local. Remember, they would go to the local place, and then they would be, you'd be like your local news guy, right? And they would be like, and they would bring out the local celebrities that would be manning the phone lines. Oh, you might be able to talk to such and such a person that owns the furniture store, such and such person that is the weather guy, or such and such person that is the local college football coach, or whatever it was. They were all manning the phones, and you'd call in with your $5 or $10 donation to the Jerry Lewis telethon, and you'd watch. Maybe you'd get to be read on TV. I mean, that was that every year, and that was the only thing on. Look, and I know, like, I knew as a young kid it was for a good cause, but hey, listen, I didn't want to watch it, but it was the only thing on TV. Every channel had the Jerry Lewis telethon on, and I can't believe it. I'm blown away that it's been stopped. See, I would think Jerry Lewis, I thought he would give it to somebody to take over. Like, obviously, is Jerry Lewis still alive?
No, he's dead.
He's dead, right?
Yeah, spoiler alert, he's
dead.
That's
right, he died. But I thought years ago, because he lived to be in his 90s, I thought like around 80 or something, he'd be like, okay, it's the Jerry Lewis telethon, but it's going to be like Carson Daly's going to do it or something like that. You
Ryan
know what I mean?
Seacrest.
Like Ryan Seacrest, who's made some deal with the devil where he gets all the jobs. He takes over the telethon and just does the telethon. And he takes it over for Jerry Lewis, but Jerry Lewis's name, kind of like Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest.
Yep.
There will be a point where it'll be Ryan Seacrest's New Year's Rockin' Eve. But right now.
But you think it might be Dick Clark rocking New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest hosted by. Like, do you think the title is just going to become a Cleveland Browns jersey?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
Just keep adding names to it. Hosted by Zac Efron.
You got to think at some point the Dick Clark name just doesn't work anymore. Like, it's just too, thank you, Dick Clark. But
didn't he have a huge production company at one time?
Yes, he did.
Like, everything's like Dick Clark Productions. I mean, they did all the bloopers.
They did,
which you never see anymore. You just got the YouTube bloopers.
And practical jokes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, man, they just were hysterical, right? Guys flubbing up their lines,
even more disheartening. Even more disheartening, I hate to do it to you, but the final rendition of the Jerry Lewis telethon in 2014.
Yes, break my heart even more.
Yeah, it was taped.
Was it?
Yes.
It wasn't even live.
It wasn't even live.
Are you kidding me?
They taped it in May and June of 2014.
Oh, stop. Really?
They taped it at the Palladium in L.A. and the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville.
That couldn't work today. Like, you couldn't just, it doesn't have to be on every channel, but you couldn't just do a telethon without, you couldn't just say, let's keep this thing rolling along since we haven't found a cure for it. People are still going to need funds from it. It's still, just keep it, just bring in somebody else and just do it live in Vegas. Put it on a channel or something. Tape it. Get out of here. Part of the great appeal of the telethon was that the celebrities would make time to attend live.
Right. And they
you
would
could
be
watch
set,
it at 2 o'clock in the morning and Frank Sinatra might walk on stage and sing a song with Jerry.
Well, but you had celebrities answering phones. I mean,
yes.
You can't answer a phone if it's taped.
Exactly. Unless it's fake.
They just probably had actors. They can play it off.
Exactly.
Act like they're answering phones in the background.
And maybe we're missing the big point, Ron. Maybe you don't need a telethon anymore. Maybe you don't need it. Maybe
you just need a GoFundMe page.
You just need a GoFundMe page. You go, you know what? Here's the deal. Muscular dystrophy is still an important thing. It's still a thing that needs funding. We still have people that get it and need care. Because a lot of that money went to, it wasn't to look for a cure. A lot of that money went for, we're going to redo people's homes. We're dealing with this, wheelchair ramps, all those kind of things, giving people the care they need. Sometimes people needed 24-hour care, giving them. I mean, it went for so many good things. It's still needed today. But again, maybe you don't need a telethon celebrity singing.
No,
maybe
you just need J.J. Watt to start tweeting about it.
All you need is J.J. Watt to tweet about it, and Lord knows, you'll get $100 million tomorrow.
Yep. That's all we need. So, J.J., yeah. Step up.
J.J., man, one of the greatest philanthropers. I mean, well, is he a philanthropist or is he – because he raised the money.
Who, Jerry?
No.
J.J.?
Yeah, Jerry. Well, both, really.
they both did their fair share of philanthropy.
I'd love to know how much Jerry Lewis has raised in 50 years of doing that telethon. Billion, maybe? SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We know that many of you across the nation are getting up early this morning because it is the first day of school in a lot of parts of the country, not in where I live. School has already started. School's already been a month in. When do they start school in Houston?
See, my kids have been back to school since mid-August.
Mid-August, okay. A lot of parts, especially in the northeast part of the United States, school starts after Labor Day, which is today. So a lot of kids going back to school today, first day of school. That's, speaking of the telethon, that's when I was younger, I didn't look forward to the telethon. Because when it was on TV, that meant school clothes were coming out. Breakfast cereals were going to be brought out the next morning. The fresh smell of new books and pencils and all of that fun stuff. When I was younger, somebody posted this on Twitter. I was really glad they did because it's kind of like a nostalgic thing. I used to love them. Remember the NFL pencils that had the names of the teams on them? And they came in those cool NFL packs.
Of course.
Oh, those were the best. I used to get those every year. I loved them. I had an NFL lunchbox.
And you would grind down the team you hated most.
Yep.
And keep the one and like try not to use the team that you liked.
Yeah, I wanted to keep that fresh. I had that Steelers black pencil that had the gold lettering, and I would hardly ever use it. Oh, yes, the St. Louis Cardinals. I'd run that thing down to the nub. Dallas Cowboys, I'd probably give to my brother. But yeah, no, man, I loved those pencils. Those were great pencils. Not that they were like smooth to write with or anything like that. They were just great to have. They were just basic number two pencils.
But that was back when we had to grind our pencils with a sharpener in class.
Oh, God.
And stand in line, and then you just sit there while you're doing your work, and someone's like,
Christ, sharpening that pencil.
And now you can't have them in school because the kid will stick his finger in there and grind his finger.
Forget it. I know. No, too late. Oh, God. Crazy world we live in. I miss back to school pizza. Remember that cardboard pizza, that square pizza?
Yep. That wasn't that bad.
I liked it. It was kind of chewy.
School enchiladas.
School enchiladas.
Which was pretty much, I don't even know if you really can call it an enchilada.
No, oh, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the cafeteria worker was like, I don't know what we're gonna do with this meat. Oh, I know.
I have an idea.
Put it in here and cook it till it becomes paste.
God bless you cafeteria workers out there in schools all across the nation.
Did you ever work in the school cafeteria?
No, I didn't. I know some friends of mine that did.
I got
to do the dishes.
I got to in sixth grade, and I, you know, be part of the serving line.
Oh, well, how was that?
Child labor at its finest.
Oh, I bet it was. I bet it was. Would they make you just scoop soup or something?
Pretty much. I mean, the perk to it all was that you got out of class early.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that makes sense. Those little things like, oh, you know, hey, 10 minutes before lunch, I got to go teach.
Got to go help serve food.
To the masses.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, go back to school. Welcome back, students. All right, 800-777-2907.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I went to my kids back to school thing this past week.
Like a teacher's conference?
Yeah, or not, just like not a teacher's conference. You know, they just go in and they explain everything to you. First of all, there was a big problem that I had with that because they start off as like, you know, you need to be here. You need to be on time. You need to be here right when it starts. You don't want to miss a thing. Get there. The first words out of their mouths were, don't worry about taking photos or notes. We're going to email you the whole PowerPoint.
Oh, golly. Don't
waste
my time.
Why am I here?
Don't waste my time.
But one of the things that kind of threw me for a loop that's like, all right, you know, I guess it's just the day and age we're in. My son, he has two teachers, and they're called switch classes now, where one teacher primarily does language arts and the other one does math, science, social studies. So I'm in the math, science, social studies class, and his teacher literally says, like, yes, we encourage them to bring iPads, iPhones, whatever it is, and make sure they have headphones because they will be doing work that way. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
I mean, I guess that's just technology. It's like, I remember having a calculator watch.
Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah.
And being told to take it off. Like, I'm going to be able to hide me adding numbers on my calculator watch. And now encouraged.
Oh,
bring in
that.
Your electronics.
Yeah, exactly. I get mad when my kids come home and there's like 5 hours of homework. I'm like, what do you have all this homework for? What am I doing? Why don't I just teach you, for crying out loud? What do you all this homework for?
Yeah, well, my second grader, he has optional homework.
Ah,
homework
is
optional.
Yeah, that's better.
You don't have to do it if you don't want to.
I'm not a big homework fan. I remember one year my daughter was like in second grade, and I remember she had so much homework. She came home, it was a beautiful day outside, and she couldn't get it all done. She was struggling with it, and her brain just wasn't in school mode anymore, and she was just couldn't. And we were like, you got to get this done. And she just broke down and started crying. She's like, I can't do this. I just can't do this. It's like too much. And I remember going, yeah, I got to go talk to the teacher. This is ridiculous. It's like, don't get lazy on me and tell me, oh, yeah, by the way, teach your own kid this formula or whatever. It's like, no, you teach my kid.
I'm too busy eating paste.
Exactly. It's like, you teach my kid. And then when my kid comes home, he gets exercise and I feed him. And that's the deal. You get him for 8 hours. I get him for 8 hours. Sleep gets him for the rest of the night. That's the deal we worked out, did we not? Didn't we come to an agreement on that? It's not you get him for 8 hours, then I get him for hours of schoolwork and other things. So
I don't mind a little homework. You know,
I want a little homework.
I'm not totally anti homework,
but
I know. But I mean, yeah, it does get excessive when it's
like
4 hours, 5 hours of homework.
Like, when are they supposed to do anything awesome? Like, when are they supposed to just enjoy life? They've been stuck in your building with barely any AC or heat for 8 hours in the day. And then you come home and you're like, here, there's more stuff. Keep going. Because all these other countries are beating us in math tests.
Like, that's because we keep changing math.
I know, we keep changing math. Exactly.
I don't understand why you changed math.
Exactly.
Just leave it the way it was. It was fine. It wasn't broken.
Nope, math was fine. Math was fine the way it was.
Sometimes you struggled in learning a new concept, but after a while, you got it.
You got it. Exactly. Exactly. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. We've been talking about week one in college football. And Nick Saban, I want to get back to Nick Saban's response to that question about his quarterbacks. Because, look, I didn't think it was a good deal. Quit asking. Stop asking me about it. Blah, blah, blah. 2 points on that I made earlier today. I think, one, if you are a... You got to learn to read the tea leaves a little bit, and I think Nick Saban is smart enough to read the tea leaves. Here's the deal. If you're in a position where you're going to get asked a certain question, come up with a better answer. Don't be so surprised when you get asked it. All right, if you're a head coach of the national championship college football team in the country, even if you're not the national championship college football team, but you're a team like Alabama that's got an extremely high profile situation, and you have two quarterbacks, you're going to get asked about it. Come up with a better way to answer this than freaking out every time somebody does, okay? I don't have a problem at all with Nick Saban saying, I got two guys. I love them. I got two guys. That's what I care about. You know, like, and here's the deal. His apology when it was like a parent, you know, you love your kids. No, no, no. Don't go there. Here's why you don't go there. And this is something Nick Saban's got to be careful of. This is why you don't go there. I'll never forget years ago when I was working in radio and I was in between jobs and I was working as a temp for a finance company. And I loved it. And I was learning a lot about finance and all that stuff. And if I wasn't wanting to get back into radio, I would have taken that as a second career. But I'll never forget the lady who was like my supervisor. She was telling me, and I was probably 24, 25 at the time, and I was a young guy. And she said, "We're like family here, but we're not family because you can get fired." And that's the difference, right? When you start talking about your players as kids, and you're like a parent and you love both your kids, that's a bunch of hogwash. You love your kids until they can't do something for you anymore when you're a head football coach. Then you don't love them anymore. Then you cut them and you take their scholarship away. When they act up, you want nothing to do with them. When you're a real parent and your kid gets arrested, you fight for your kid, you take care of your kid, you make sure it doesn't hurt them down the line. You don't abandon your children. When your child is got a drug problem, you fight to get them help and you stay with them through the process. When your child is successful, you share the success. When they struggle, you share the struggle. When you're a real parent, you take care of your children all the way through good times and bad. You're not their parent, Nick Saban. You're their football coach. And you use them until you don't need to use them anymore. And then they're somebody else's kid. And that's been that way since you got to Alabama. And it's been that way when you were at LSU too. It's been that way all the way through your college coaching career. This idea that the reason you got upset was because Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa are like children to you and you don't choose between your children is nonsense. It's nonsense. You don't want to answer the question? Don't answer the question. You don't want to answer who's going to be the starter? You don't know anybody that. Anybody. But there's a way to answer that, and you don't need to go down this sort of ridiculous notion that you're protecting the feelings of your kids. You're not their parent. You're their football coach. And you know what? They know it too. Yeah, it's cool when they stay with you for 4 years and they go on to the NFL and you still have a great relationship with them and whatever. But there's a lot of kids who've played for Alabama who don't play for Alabama anymore, play somewhere else. And they did so because they weren't exactly the child of Nick Saban in the Alabama program. So people demand an answer from that. Stop. You don't need an answer for that. He doesn't have to tell you his quarterback's going to be. He can do whatever he wants. He's the head coach. He can be as intense as he wants with it. Tua's a better quarterback. Jalen Hurts has some good weapons too, but Tua's a better quarterback. Tua's a better thrower. He's a much better thrower. And that's who they're going to win with. But if you don't want to answer, don't want to answer. You don't have to freak out. God. Like when he freaks out, it's like, are you surprised at a guy that's that seasoned loses his cool like that? Or does that just come with age?
It might come with age, but I almost want to, I just think it's him. It's like his shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just as much as Dick Vitale will, you know, be talking about something and slowly build up until it's almost like a volcano about to explode. I think that's just Saban's way. Saban's way is just, you know, I'm just going to talk and then I'll fly off the handle because that's who I am.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sure Saban, that's the way he coaches.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure he's sitting there, sure. You know, when he's having team meetings with the players or the coaches, he's talking about one thing and then slowly starts drifting away, starts going off about something else. And there's probably players or coaches, you know, leaning into each other going, how do we get here?
Yeah, I know.
Where's he going with this?
Where are we? Yeah, exactly. What are we doing? Where is he going?
But who are we to criticize? He's successful.
He's going to play Arkansas State this weekend. Okay, here's the deal. If you think Tua Tagovailoa or Jalen Hurts, you need a starter for that game, you're insane. Both of these kids are going to play. They're going to do great. They're going to win 100-0. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Arkansas State's got a good quarterback in Justice Hanson, who is on the radar of one of the awards that the awards you get, you know, where like the quarterback award, Danny Werfel Award or whatever it is, award. He's a pretty good one. Justice Hanson is a really good young quarterback. I think they could put a point on the board or a touchdown on the board or maybe two, but that's about it. Alabama's going to win 70-14 or 70-10 or whatever it is, and both guys are going to play and both guys will do well and he'll get asked it again and he'll explode again. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Twitter for Ron, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 800-777-2907. In non-football news, Roger Federer is out of the U.S. Open. I'm not following the U.S. Open. I'm not a big tennis person. But apparently, it's smoking hot in New York City for this U.S. Open. But isn't it always at this time of year? Doesn't it feel like I do this every year with the... Everyone's complaining about the heat in New York City.
It's always hot for the U.S. Open. It's always hot for the Australian Open. That's what I've come to learn.
That's exactly right. So U.S. Roger Federer is out. He loses to John McMillan.
Yeah, he's not that good.
Is that McMillan?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying Federer is not that good.
Yeah, Federer is not that good. I don't know what all the hype is all about.
Yeah, he needs to do something with his career.
How old's Roger Federer? 35, 36?
Yeah, will he go down as the greatest tennis player ever?
I got to think so, yeah, right? Yes.
I mean, just for...
He's got the most Grand Slams.
But the longevity of his career at being a...
Again.
You know, I mean, he was coming into this tournament, he was ranked number two.
And he's, I got to be thinking, 35, 36 years old. I feel like, again, I know as I've gotten older, my time window shrinks. And, you know, like 5 years feels like two, right? So it's just, everything goes faster. But I feel, again, like Roger, like I can't remember Roger Federer not being around in tennis the last 15 years.
He's 37.
37. That means he's been around close to 20 years where he's been in tennis. I'm not going to say I don't remember a time where he wasn't in tennis, because I remember Boris Becker. And
no, you're absolutely right. He turned pro in 1998.
But it's been 20 years Roger Federer has been around in our lives. And so he got upset by the number 55 player in the world. That seems like a big upset.
And see, he won his first major in 2003.
Okay, so he's been around forever. Have you ever gone to a tennis tournament? A tennis tournament? I've never gone. I shouldn't say that. I covered a women's event in Charleston, but it was only went for a little bit. I didn't go for the whole thing.
That'd be fun, though.
I've never gone to the U.S. Open, or I've never been to Wimbledon or anything like that. I think it'd be kind of cool. But anyway, it's a non-football story. And also, Bryson DeChambeau wins the Dell Technologies Championship. So there you go. But coming up, more NFL as we get ready for the season opener. Eagles and Falcons. And the other news and notes from the league, as well as college football, because we've got a lot to unpack. Especially Chip Kelly's debut at UCLA and USC. That kid at USC, how did he do? We'll talk Pac-12 as well next hour.